showtime.
It's time for that radio show everyone loves.
Do not attempt to change the station.
Just listen, and we'll keep broadcasting.
It's time to begin the show.
1039 LI News Radio presents Your Island, the very best in talk radio, with your host, Tom Shalero.
And once again, welcome back. 1 hour in the books, one to go, folks. Now, this segment of our program is being brought to you by the Suffolk County Patrolmen's Benevolent Association, the PBA. It serves to support law enforcement, participate in special events and programs all designed to help protect our community. They care about you and keeping us all safe. From the anti-drinking and driving campaigns to protecting our children with education on the Megan's Law, PBA promotes a great relationship between the police and the people it's sworn to serve. As we know, Suffolk County is one of the safest counties in the country, and the PBA takes pride in its strong belief in our security. They have honored our fallen heroes and contribute greatly to our suburban way of life. Need to know more? Go right to www.suffolkcountypba.org. Noel DiGirolamo, president. Getting right back into it, been talking a little bit about what's going on between Republicans and Democrats down there in Washington. Just had Frank McKay on, giving us a perspective on how this translates to 2018. Can there be a switch as the party in power always tends to lose seats? And of course, back to the show, Jesse Garcia. Jesse is the chairperson, and I'm going to say, of the very highly successful Brookhaven Town Republican Committee. Jesse, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tom, it's a pleasure to be here with you.
You know, there's been a lot of hot rhetoric the last 2 days. A lot of my callers are calling on and they're watching what's going on there with the Republican Party in the Capitol, saying that they gave them this opportunity. Donald Trump said, day one, we're going to repeal Obamacare. And there just seems to be gridlock. And the folks are a little concerned. And somewhat so that you're seeing our first congressional district here, Congressman Lee Zeldin, he's already starting to stack up opponents. Does it necessarily mean that every 2 years the party in power automatically loses seats? Or is there going to be some sort of difference happening by 2018? And I want to start at that level. Then I want to go locally. I know you have a lot to say. But Jesse, what do you think? I mean, you even have a congressional background. You worked for Congressman Felix Gucci in the same district. So you can get a perspective on what's going on down there.
Yeah, I agree with you. And listen, I think that one of the things that, and I'm not going to be telling you this, you know, just pulling things out of the air. You know, we've just come out where we and my committee members in Brookhaven have literally walked on about 10 to 12,000 doors. And we had 10 to 12,000 people sign petitions in support of our candidates. And we're not talking just Republicans. We're talking independent voters. We're talking conservative voters.
Yes.
And I will tell you that they are happy with their president. They are not unhappy with the work that Donald Trump is doing. They like the effort and the way he has been turning Washington upside down. I do think that you're seeing where the Republican majorities in both the Senate and in the House have had their problems in getting their different coalitions together to move forward with a mandate. And they are going through growing pains in governing. That is not an excuse. That is nothing wrong. I think it's a failure on the national Republicans for not getting their act together. But you have to understand, we had the Democrats in 2008 in lockstep. You know, they followed their leader. They followed Pelosi. They followed Obama. And what do we get? To a vote, every Democrat, bought off or otherwise, with pork in their districts, gave us the failed Obamacare. They gave us the failed stimulus package that added to our deficit.
That's the point.
At least in the Republican Party, that we have a differing point of view of how to get the job done. And I think that's what's important. We're not going to fix 8 years of problems in 7 months.
But I think the people are watching that the Republicans did reject Obamacare 60 times. There was a vote 60 times. Now they have an opportunity here, and there just seems to be a reluctance. That's what gets people somewhat.
Well, I think the problem has not been the rejection or the repeal of Obamacare. The problem has been, what is to replace Obamacare? What is to replace Obamacare when you're dealing with governors, whether you're Republican governors or whether you're Democrat governors? These are governors that have bought into, unfortunately or fortunately, into the failed Obamacare system, and they have to unravel their states from it. And they are contacting their representatives, whether you're in Montana, Alaska, California, Texas, or New York. I mean, you have had people, governors, threaten lawsuits. I think that our Governor Cuomo, who's corrupt to the core, has been doing the same thing on a variety of different issues. I think what's important, and then listen, as a party leader, I am disappointed that our national Republicans have not governed. I've always said why don't you govern the Brookhaven way here in Brookhaven? There's a bipartisan board. There's a strong Republican majority. And what do they do here in Brookhaven? They lower taxes. They lower the debt.
Oh, no, there's no two ways about that.
They provide major services.
And everything you say is true. And I appreciate your candor that you'll say, you'll look at Washington and say, yeah, these folks got to do it a little bit better, you know, in terms of the Republican principles.
But I also think they need to be given time. You see our Congressman Lee Zeldin, who has been saying from the beginning, I will repeal Obamacare. I will protect our patients. I will provide a program to replace Obamacare. But he is fighting in the trenches every day. At the very least, his work was successful in the House of Representatives. You know, now we need the Senate to move forward. And unfortunately, or fortunate, the way you look at it, the Senate was provided with 52 Republicans from differing states, from differing points of view, with different set of facts in your states. And they have to come together to make this plan work.
And your thoughts now, the narrative is this, and this is what gets me, that it's, again, going back to Franklin Roosevelt, as you well know, mm-hmm. that the party in power in the White House tends to lose seats. But, you know, I'm looking at this right now and I'm saying, really, unless all of a sudden the Nancy Pelosi's and all of that disappear, are the people really going to turn back to a Democratic Party that kind of failed in many different ways down there in Washington, just like you've been candor about, you know, what the Republicans are trying to do here? I don't naturally think that it's going to be an automatic back to the Democratic Party,
it's
particularly if you have that old style leadership, which then leads me to the fact that I guess I'm alone on this, because they're lining up against Lee Zeldin, smelling blood, this Democratic resurgence.
Let's take the two issues separately. Let's take first the fact that the party in power loses, the party usually in power in the White House loses
seats. Yes.
Let's go with the facts instead of theory. There have been four special elections in close Republican seats, in swing seats, and in Republican seats.
Yes.
There was a sweep of the Republicans.
I think it was six. I think it's only
maybe
six.
Yeah. I know that one was, I think, like a runoff or something like that. Yeah. I think they count the runoff as one of them and such. But still, it was a sweep. It was a sweep.
Yes, it was.
Republicans won those seats. They won swing seats. They won Republican seats. And I don't care as a party leader if I win by 2 votes or by 2 million votes. That's the job of the party.
Yes.
So the electorate is giving the Republicans their shot. The electorate is also saying to them, produce, because they produce in Brookhaven. They produce in different areas. They produce in the New York State Senate, where they protect the taxpayers here from the MTA payroll tax. So they're saying, we see what Republicans can do when they're in power. Get your act together. We will give you the time. We understand it's 8 years that you have to unravel this new entitlement that is going to collapse upon itself and not only cost us trillions of dollars in debt, but put patients at risk, because there are no more insurance providers. There are no more health care providers. I don't care what the liberal progressives say, whether they're in New York City and Manhattan in their high-rise apartments, or in their Malibu beach houses. The program is collapsing, and it's going to burst this economic situation we have in the United States.
Yeah, and those.
The other thing with Lee Zeldin.
Oh, Lee Zeldin, yes. Okay.
When I look at Lee Zeldin, the more the merrier. I don't believe.
Well, Frank McKay was just on right before you, and he seems to think 3 is a low number, that's going to go up higher. That's what Frank McKay just said.
For me as a political leader, is a constituent of Lee Zeldin, who has seen his work as a congressman over the last 4 years, who's seen his work as a state senator, who has worked in the bowels of Congress. This man is the hardest working member of Congress you will ever find on either side of the aisle. And dare I say, he has been the most productive, results-oriented congressman that Long Island has seen since probably Otis Pike. And I'm including my former boss, one of my best friends, Felix Grucci. You know? So he's going to be successful. And from what I see about it, I see more than Barry. Give me your 3, your 5, your 10, your 12. Because Lee Zeldin is going to have a record. He has a record of success. He has the apparatus in his constituent service and with our political operation to be successful, to be reelected again. And he will take down the 17 candidates, the 15 candidates, the 3 candidates. A dysfunctional, ununited.
The question
Democrat
I have
Party
is that why? Why is there that opposition out there? And, you know, again, it goes back to the narrative that they...
I believe it's fueled by
ego. You think it's just ego?
I believe it's fueled by ego, by the Pelosi's of the world, by the Washington Democratic establishment of the world. I think that they're putting out, and they're putting out feelers to try and get the best candidate. Let me tell you something. If Lee Zeldin was in danger or was vulnerable, there would not be three candidates. There would not be five candidates. There'd be one candidate.
If he was vulnerable. So you're exactly. saying that the fact that he won by over 60% of the vote against a very well-funded opponent, you'd have to agree, that I would tend to think that nobody would run against him. Wouldn't you?
No, I think it's America. I think everyone runs against everybody. I would be disappointed if someone didn't run against any of my candidates here locally. That's cheating the voters. I want to go to the voters every year. Because the way I'm successful year after year after year is because I'm talking to the voters year after year after year, whether you're running for Congress, whether you're running for village trustee, or whether you're running for town supervisor. I want to talk to the voters every year, remind them of the good work that Republicans have been doing, whether it be in Brookhaven or Lee Zeldin in Congress, or some of our senators like Tom Croce, John Flanagan, or Ken LaValle. You know, remind them of that work. So when I come back again, in a year like this year, a local year, where the turnout's going to be relatively low,
and that was part of our
yeah. the good work we
that
had.
That was part of our discussion.
And I will tell you, talking about local elections,
yes,
no one can tell you what's going to happen in 2018. And I've said this before on your show, and I've said it at rallies with hundreds of people. And I've said it to my committee people. I've said it everywhere. You know, 2017 sets the stage for 2018.
The only
when
way
Brookhaven
that I
Republicans get reelected significantly, and they're hired again by the voters to do the job for them, that sets the table for Lee Zeldin and every state candidate we have next year, including our gubernatorial candidate.
You know, again, when you put it all like that, I mean, for the most part, people will return a local incumbent, particularly on your level, on the town of Brookhaven level, if they're doing a good job. And you know what I define as doing a good job? Oh, you were at the Eagle Scout thing, or you were at the VFW thing, and that's where I met you. Not necessarily a legislative agenda. It's usually when the local officials are right there in front of you at a community event. I've always found that that has more of a... is that something you would insist upon about those individuals that are incumbents in Brookhaven Board?
Well, I will tell you, I think the incumbency reelection in Congress and in state houses is far greater than it is in local elections.
Yes.
You know, Brookhaven Town and other communities and stuff, they're a lot closer to the electorate. You know, these are people they see in their shops.
Absolutely.
And they see in the town
yeah.
board meeting. Yeah. So I think it's a little bit more personal. And, you know, it's the closest form of government. And I think what you see is that's where you'll see a lot more changes. I mean, the congressional rate of reelection is like 94%, I think, for state office. It's like 92%. I mean, that's where that is.
Well, to that point,
we got to work every day. We got to work every day to see the people every day.
Yeah, to that point, when you really go right, I mean, people, for the most part, they'll blast Congress, they'll blast any sort of governing body that they do. But when it comes to their local officials, they like them.
Yeah. I mean, remember, Charles Rangel was under investigation. I think was charged
yeah,
with ethics charges. Yeah. And I think he won.
He won, yeah, I know.
Easily.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, that's a very bad example. That's a very bad example of our democracy. But I think what it shows you is that, you know, you need to have a strong political apparatus. You need to have a strong candidate with a strong set of principles and values along with a record of accomplishments. And whether you agree with Charles Rangel or not, and certainly I don't, over the years that he served that district, he did accumulate that.
Well, you have to pretty much assume he knew everybody in the district at some point. It was almost
exactly.
40 years in the
yeah,
district.
Exactly.
So, I mean, they were going to vote for their friend, Charlie. So, that's, mm-hmm. I mean, no matter what your personal or legal problems are, that's what tends to happen, which is also a call that a lot of people will save about term limits. But that's another issue for another day. As far as the local races, again, we were trying to get you on, but you were busy with the petitioning and everything like that. Petitions are now over. They're filed. It looks like the candidates are now the smoke has cleared. Any races that you find very interesting coming up?
You know, I feel very good. And, you know, we take nothing for granted, but I feel very good about our town races. I mean, with Ed Romaine leading the charge as the town supervisor, followed by Donna Lent, our clerk, our highway superintendent Dan LaSquadro, and then a strong slate of town council candidates. I mean, on the South Shore, you have a guy like Neil Foley, who's been a very successful multi-year incumbent in the 5th District. And then, of course, we have a freshman councilman who's really turned the 4th town council district upside down and all of a sudden an infusion of infrastructure, an infusion of services have come into it with Michael Legersio.
Yeah, Mike was on the program last week, and it's almost like a profile of the type of candidates that run. I mean, he comes from a school board background. He was a president of a local school. I mean, that's kind of interesting. I mean, that's an elective office. A lot of people don't look at it that way, but you got to get elected to do that, and you're running.
One of the best meetings I had was with Michael Legersio. We sit about it. We were trying to recruit for to run for office in 2013, which he won that race three times, but the liberal judges in the appellate division stole that away from the voters.
It was a very close
one.
Yeah, but
we got it back to 2015.
Right.
But Michael looked at me and he says, Jesse, as a school board member, I imposed and controlled taxes and put the tax cap in before you guys in politics thought it was politically proper to do it. I've been doing that for years. And you look at it, a Longwood school district had stable, controlled taxes, yet fantastic services, you know, affordable. It was fantastic. And then here in Brookhaven, he's been voting for no tax increases, and he's been voting to reduce the debt. He brought those skills as a school board member, at a school board president, where he controlled taxes, controlled the debt, you know, provided services, and he brought it to town hall. Now he's servicing 500,000 people. So those are the type of community-minded, you know, businessmen and women with the skill sets of a variety of different areas that we bring into the Republican Party to put forward before the voters. And they have been rewarded over and, year, over and over again with the reelection because they're doing a good job. Yeah. And in terms of legislative races, I think we have some exciting legislative races coming
up. That was my next question. Obviously, there's a lot of battleground there because that's a key component of who eventually will be in the majority. And I know the Republican Party is making an effort. Right now, they're the minority party in the Suffolk County Legislature, but I know you guys are making an effort. What race there intrigues you within the town of Brookhaven, Brookhaven race?
Within the town of Brookhaven, I think you're looking at the 3rd Legislative District. It's an open seat, being retired by a working families member.
Yeah, Kate Brown.
That's been there for 12 years. Rudy Sunderman, who is a first responder, bar none. This is a man that has answered the call 24/7, 365 days a year. He's here to save Suffolk like he has saved many, many people throughout his volunteer career. Mm. I mean, the impact he has had in this community as a firefighter, as a commissioner, as a chief, is unreal, and people respond to that. So I think when you see that's going to happen, that seat's going to flip over to Republican. And then we have competitive seats in the 6th legislative district against with Gary Polakowski. He's going to be moving forward and taking on Sarah Anker, who only won by like 13 votes in the 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yes.
We have an exciting member of Ed Flood, a small businessman who was also chief of staff to Assemblyman Dean Murray. He brings a mix of the public sector and the private sector, and he's going to be waging a competitive and a very successful campaign there in the 5th District. And then in the South Shore, where Neil Foley is the councilman, you have Christine Rignola, who's a school board member herself, who's controlled taxes, knows how to work with labor, is community involved, and she's a small businesswoman. That type of person, we already see energy in these races. It's mounting day after day. It's mounting door after door. You know, Democrats like to wave signs and yell expletives at people for any camera phone that they see. Mm. But when you go door to door, when you talk to the people, the voters are responding to the Republican message. They're responding to the Republican committeeman. They're responding to the Republican candidate and elected official.
It almost sounds like it's busier now in these local elections where we don't get the voter turnout than it is when you're running a presidential year. You get that impression there's just a lot to do, particularly for a local leader like yourself.
Exactly. I jokingly have always said it matters to me more whose town supervisor than it is the president. Hmm. I mean, I love the president because I'm a proud American and I care about our country. But for my family directly, who rides on these roads, who uses the parks, wants access to our beaches, who wants public safety to make sure that our communities are ridden of foreclosures and abandoned eyesores, you know, that's the Ed Romaine team. That's the Ed Romaine team of our council person, whether it's Jane Bonner, Kevin LaBau, you know, yes. James Canale in the 1st District. We're going to take that seat back. You know, we've already talked about, you know, Dan Hatico in the 6th District there. You know, that's a team I want. That's a team that the people of Brookhaven want. And when those people, when those Brookhaven Republicans stand with a Lee Zeldin or with a senator or an assembly candidate, the people and the voters respond, oh, you have the same agenda that the Brookhaven Republican leaders have, like Ed Romaine and Neil Foley? Well, That means you must be a good person. I'll consider your vote. Yeah, that's successful.
Well, that's the local political scene. Jesse Garcia, chairperson of the Republican Town of Brookhaven Republican Committee. Jesse, you have a great day. Thanks for helping us out here with our discussion. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All the best.
Now, we are going to take a short break. When we get back, our final segment, I'm going to open up the phones. I know some folks have been trying to call on and give us some comments. Our number here is 631-451-1039. When we get back in about 5 minutes, we'll just capsulize this whole thing and put it into perspective. I'm your host, Tom Shalero, on 1039 LI News Radio, your island. We'll be right back. She's my little scoop. You don't know what I got.
She'll walk a thunderbird like she's standing still. She's